Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleased to be joined by ESPN analyst and Super Bowl champion three times in his career, Mark Schlereth. And this is all being provided by our good friends at King's Hawaiian, Idahoan, Avocados from Mexico, Schwan's Consumer Brands, Walmart, and my M&Ms, which is the last part I like very much. What are you doing working with them around the big game, Mark?
Okay, it's all about taking care of your party needs, right, for your big game. So I'll start with everything under one roof at Walmart. You can upgrade your home theater system to Vizio 50-inch smart TV, only $6.98, but they've got every size you can imagine all under one roof, and also all your food, all your party favors right there at Walmart. I played at the University of Idaho, so Idahoan has a new flavor out, the Applewood Smoked Bacon with Cheese, made with 100% real Idaho potatoes, tastes homemade every time. They're potato experts. I love the poppers, the jalapeno mashed potato poppers wrapped in bacon. And then do it the Hawaiian way. That's what my wife always says. You come out there, bring everybody. King's Hawaiian breads, they're light, they're fluffy, they're the perfect complement to any big game. You've got the round bread for your dip. You've got the dinner rolls for all your sliders. You've got the sweet breads, just the perfect amount of sweetness. They're great. I don't know if you know King's Hawaiian, but you should.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. All right, now, avocados from Mexico, they're ripe right now. And the avocados, you can customize your avocado because no party is complete without guacamole. So how about adding peaches using barbecue chips in your guacamole if you're an Atlanta fan? How about crab meat with Old Bay seasoning if you're a Baltimore fan? You've got the blue chips, the pomegranate seeds if maybe you're a New England fan. Or you can put them in the bell peppers, red and yellow bell peppers, to represent your Niners colors. And then pizza. Everybody loves pizza at a party. And Schwan's Consumer Brands have the great pizzas right there in the frozen food section, the Red Baron Classic Pepperoni. It's great, easy. The bruschetta, it's the perfect family style. Big, thick crust, rises. And then for the kids, how about the Tony's? It's great value, four cheese pizza. The kids will gobble that down. And you talked about the M&Ms, my M&Ms. You can personalize your M&Ms at MyM&Ms.com. Eat your favorite team colors, put your name on there, use them as party favors. Gobble them up, and also use them as your favorite party favor.
Well, now you have me all set, and I think you have the audience all set. I love every single angle you have on it. Games themselves. Let's get to the first game, which is Atlanta-San Francisco. The fact that the Falcons are more of a zone team as opposed to what the Packers play with man last week, does that change the quotient when it comes to Kaepernick?
Well, I mean, I think you looked at what happened when the Packers went man in pass coverage, especially in third down situations, and had their DBs back turned to Colin Kaepernick. That produced a huge problem. So that's a better situation for the Atlanta Falcons. But it still comes down to defending the run of the San Francisco 49ers. They're very physical. They can run the ball with Frank Gore. But Colin Kaepernick and the read option stuff has been tremendous. I thought Atlanta played it really well against Seattle last weekend. See if they can, if they're up to that challenge again. So that's a big question mark for the Atlanta Falcons.
And obviously, in the number of college games that I do, I see a lot of read options, so it's not a revelation to me. But why has it been such a tough adjustment in the NFL, the initial read on it?
I just think because the quarterbacks don't play it, and so the defenses don't coach it. You don't work on it. And the other thing is they protect quarterbacks so much in this league that you've been basically conditioned. If you hit the quarterback, you're going to get fined, and you're going to get penalized. So I think it's a really hard read for NFL players because they just don't get it coached up. But you know, these teams are going to start to adjust to it. Plus, you're not used to having quarterbacks that have the kind of athleticism of an RG3 or Colin Kaepernick. So it's one of those things that you know, that you just don't see as much. The other thing I think that really kills people, always talk about the run, but because of the run, a defense, to get run on is the most demoralizing aspect of a defense. You do not want somebody, because it says we're more physical than you. And so when you start using the fake off of that read option stuff, it opens up the routes behind the linebackers in front of the safeties, and that's where they really get you in the play action stuff, because nobody wants to be humiliated in the run game in the National Football League. Because, like I said, it says we're a lot more physical team than you, and you guys can't hang with us. So I think there's a lot of factors to it, but I just think it's going to be one of those things that teams will adjust to over time, very much like they did to the Wildcats.
In fact, that's something in our broadcast Jack Hamm and I talk about all the time, demoralizing a team with the run game, which then brings us to New England and Baltimore. Ray Rice may not have received the credit from some people that he should have from last week, along with that offensive line for Baltimore. But how important is Ray Rice to Joe Flacco in allowing him to do certain things downfield?
Well, I think it's huge. And Baltimore, they made some changes. They rolled the dice a little bit. They changed their offensive coordinator. They fired Cam Cameron. They appointed Jim Caldwell as their new offensive coordinator. It was a little shaky at first, but I think the balance they've played with Ray Rice, obviously, I think he got 6 carries in the first half last week and then ended up with 30, so 24 carries in the second half in overtime, 130 yards. And it really becomes big because you open up that deep passing game for Flacco, and there's not a receiver in the league that can outrun Flacco's arm, so it's going to be imperative. They need those big chunk yardage plays, and they get them in that passing game. So I think it's imperative that that Flacco, you know, utilizes Ray Rice, not only running game, but also in the dump off screen game. So he's a huge part. He's a great little running back. Just a complete player. I love watching him play.
The pace with which New England plays, they're averaging, I think, 74 plays, which is number one in the NFL. Is Baltimore a team defended on Baltimore doesn't really depend on packages as most other teams do. So are they better equipped matchup-wise for what the Patriots want to do?
Well, they've matched up well with the Patriots in the past. They're not intimidated.
Right.
I think they're not afraid to get up on receivers and really beat people up off the line of scrimmage, even if it means a couple of flags. And then this is a matchup game, and you're so right about that, because you look across the board. Sometimes it's scheme. Sometimes it's individual matchups, and I think they feel really confident about Haloti Ngata, in the inside matchup aspect of it. But I also think they feel really good about Suggs right now. He had 2 sacks last week, 10 total tackles. But you look at the left tackle of the New England Patriots, Nate Solder. He's a big, tall kid, like 6'8", 6'9", like 315, and he's got great feet. He can really move. But Suggs is a good leverage player, and I feel like they really feel like they can collapse the pocket, Baltimore does, and get Tom Brady off his spot. So if you couple that with being aggressive, bumping receivers, making sure that they don't have free routes, and then you can collapse the pocket, I think that's the recipe for a win for the Ravens. So I think that's how they approach this thing. So I think they have a lot more confidence playing New England than most teams do.
Absolutely. One final question for you. As a player, you achieved the highest in terms of winning championships. When you got to playoff time, championship weekend time, does it take a different mentality, and what mentality is it? Because obviously some people handle the moment better than others.
Right. I think when the ball's kicked off, you have to understand that it's a football game. It's just a football game. You're just playing football. You can't let the enormity of the situation overwhelm you. I think you still have to stay loose to some degree. And it's hard to do. It's hard not to kind of burn up a lot of your energy with nervous energy. And then the other thing, I think you have to understand the enormity of the game and be saying championship weekend is the Super Bowl, because if you don't win this weekend, you don't get to go. And so that was always our approach, is that this is a business. There's going to be plenty of time to celebrate when we win the world championship, but right now we're here to do a job, and it's like any other football game, and you've just got to go out and execute. One thing I always tell players, don't try to do more than your job. You just do your job to the best of your ability, and things will take care of themselves. And I go back to the Baltimore Raven game last week. That 70-yard touchdown pass, that's a kid in the safety position that's biting on, thinking he's going to get a back shoulder fade. He doesn't get his depth. He's going to bite, be a hero, intercept that ball, and the next thing you know, it's a 70-yard touchdown over the top, and that game is tied in the last 30 seconds.
Mark, an absolute pleasure. Best of luck with the promotion on this, because I think you're hooked in with some great companies and some great people that a lot of people should pay very close attention to when it comes time for parties.
Thank you so much, man. Have a blessed weekend.
Mark Schlereth, ESPN. We'll come back and talk more football, and we'll venture back into the TMZ world that Kevin's abandoned in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hello, 2013. That means Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers for 98 years. I'd say if you need a recommendation on where to buy your next new vehicle, there's probably been 50,000 customers you could ask. Sunbury Motors Ford sold the most F-150 pickup trucks in the entire Philadelphia zone. They're the number one F-Series dealer. Unbelievable. SMC has 99 F-Series available starting at $21,954. If you're looking at awards, Sunbury Motors Hyundai ended 2012 as the number one Hyundai dealer in customer satisfaction in the Eastern Sales District. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 23 Hyundai Elantras starting at $17,490. Sunbury Motors Kia wants to see you in a Kia, and now is the time to buy a 2013 Serena with $3,500 off, plus 0% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making American luxury affordable by discounting a brand new Navigator $10,100. Find your next new Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia at SunburyMotors.com, or stop in Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence of WKOK's On the Mark program. We won't have a blockbuster week like the Steve Jones show has had, but next week we will have Andy Russell of the Pittsburgh Steelers talking about economics PA. We'll also have Matt Russo of Susquehanna University talking about the economy, and Thursday, Cliff Readers, one of the attorneys who's an expert on the Penn State lawsuits. It's next week on the Mark, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on WKOK and WKOK.com.
I'm just glad to hear he finally admitted it.
About time.
I mean, really. About time that our man fessed up. Saying, look, Jones is having, and her, they're having a blockbuster week.
He's got Ben Reichle.
I'm the biggest On the Mark fan going. So I mean, that's a, see Lawrence and I can have a lot of fun about this. You know, what's fun is the cross promotion part. See, Mark's sense of humor is very underrated. I think he's a riot. Very subtle. You know, one of the dry. That's why I love the promo. It was great. So
I've known him for over 20 years, and the sense of humor has been the same ever since the day I met him.
And, you know, I talked to him about that, and he says he's actually really only known you for 6 months. All right, so here we are.
This has to be the weirdest sports week ever.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you know what? It goes back to a larger point that I've made many times on this show. And I've always actually been serious about it. I've never been kidding about it. And that is the front of the jersey versus the back of the jersey. Okay? Look, for example, and I've talked about this before, look at what ESPN is doing today, for example, with golf. What's the golf headline today?
Oh, the golf headline is that Tiger and Rory missed the cut.
Right. See, now Rory's getting included in this now, Rory McIlroy.
But the big story is about Tiger getting penalized.
Right, and he knows the rules extremely well. This is another one of those situations like Dustin Johnson at the PGA Championship at, Whistling Straits. Look, they're playing in Dubai, for goodness sakes. The whole thing is sand. It's one big sand trap.
That's an excellent point. I mean, when you look at the, there's a picture, maybe we'll have to get it on our website here too, but there's a picture of where Tiger was positioned with the ball, and you know, it's in a bunch of what looks like ivy in a sand trap.
Now, him not making the cut, Rory not making the cut today, that's a big story, and I understand that. But you have to tell me who's winning. What bothers me is that when we get to see highlights on a Sunday when we see, and they start out with Tiger, you'll see like seven or eight of his shots, and then all of a sudden you'll see three shots of the winner. What? He played better. When did we, I mean, ESPN hasn't changed, and the problem is nobody's challenging that. When you don't have competition, you don't get challenged. And part of the problem is this. They have now employed so many writers. I think there's a fear in the writing community to do anything against them right now because eventually they'd like to be hired by them. I mean, they've made a lot of mistakes in the last year and a half. A lot. And a lot of mistakes in judgment. You know, and they are supposed to have all these rock-solid, incredible reporters, right? Jeremy Schapp sitting right there asks all the wrong questions, completely way off on his stories. Right? I mean, like Bob Knight said to him, he said, you're not your dad. You're right. He isn't his dad. I mean, Knight got criticized for it, but he wasn't wrong. You know, and the mistakes they made in the Manti Te'o story and the acceptance of that. You know, they hitched their wagon big time to Lance Armstrong. They hitched their wagon big time to Tiger Woods. They hitched their wagon big time this fall to Manti Te'o, and it's all blowing up on them left and right. Do they care? No. They have a tape in a vault from the Syracuse thing from Bernie Fine from years ago. It stayed in the vault. You can't tell us you want to be a sports news organization and then keep things in a vault. I mean, they've encountered a lot of problems here over the last year and a half as to how they've gone about their business, and they're promoting narratives. Some of them aren't true to the point where everything I hear them say, I sit back and go, yeah, really. I can't watch them anymore. I'll watch game after game after game. Games take care of themselves. But they're cutesy, artsy. It's like, yeah. Just tell me who won. Show me some highlights. And that's why I root. When I watch the Olympics, I root for the United States. When I watch football, there are teams that I root for. And when it comes time to analyzing individuals, I analyze individuals and not personalities. And I bring this back to the Tim Tebow discussion from earlier this year, which brought with it a lot of calls because people got emotional about it. And I not one time put down the person of Tim Tebow. I analyzed Tim Tebow, the National Football League quarterback, and put him into the same context of other National Football League quarterbacks. When you're doing that and taking the emotion of who the individual is, you then can get better analysis that you're just looking at what you see and not emotionally hitching your wagon to it, which then, and this goes back to what I talked about before, and I've talked about many times. One of the things I tell my class is never bet on games you're covering. I said, you know, in fact, don't bet on sports that you're covering. And here's the reason why. If you place a bet and they win, your analysis of it is skewed towards such happiness. They did this and this. It's great and awesome and incredible. It's not right. But if you lose, then you're too negative. And that's why when it comes to covering individuals, you almost have to be cold and calculating about how you look at them. Okay, I'm just going to look at them purely on performance, not whether I like them or not. Now, it's different when you're broadcasting a team that's in front of you. Right? I believe in Patrick Chambers. I believe in Bill O'Brien. I've always believed and will always believe in Joe Paterno. Okay? Because I know them. It's different. I know Matt McGloin. I know Michael Marty. I know Jordan Hill. I know Tim Frazier. I'm around them all the time. That's different because now you actually know the people. Seeing somebody on television, you don't know them. Seeing somebody on TV, you don't know them. You think you do, but you don't. You're not around them all the time. You see how they play. You can and you can admire how somebody plays, and you can root for somebody plays. But they're not. You know, they aren't role models. Your role models are closest to you. All the good people that we have up and down the valley here, we have great people up and down the valley. It's a privilege to meet all of them. I felt so bad today. Rick and Lee Weibel, for example, wanted to invite me to an event on January 30th. And I absolutely wanted to go, and I can't. I'm traveling to Cedar Rapids that night. But those are the kind of people I like being around. That's the kind of people we have in the valley. These are good people, role model people that we have right in our own backyard. I don't need somebody on television to be my role model when I've got people around me already that are like that. I just don't. I can appreciate the talent that they bring to the table extremely. I love watching great talent perform. But that's where it ends for me. I love watching great talent perform. I don't know them personally. The people I like are the people that are my friends.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve in the Sunbury Motor Studio today. Penn State Wrestling coming up later on tonight. Shikellamy Basketball coming up tonight. Braves struggled in the last two games in the Heartland Conference, including a loss a week ago at home against Milton, and then on the road and got handled pretty well by the Danville Ironmen in the second half on Tuesday night. They're going to be looking to bounce back after starting undefeated in conference play. Have lost two in a row now. They're going to need a big bounce back and, you know, some consistent shooting and just overall a little bit better play. Quite honestly, and that's what the Braves are going to be looking to do. Coach Tim Foer, we'll chat with him in the pregame and talk a little bit about what the team has done over the last couple of days to try and break out of this two-game slump that they're in conference play. Jersey Shore Bulldogs rounding out the first go-round through the Pennsylvania Heartland Athletic Conference Division I. Ironmen still remain undefeated in the conference. And again, playing very good basketball, solid basketball, without, you know, a big man in the middle. I mean, they've handled it very well. Taylor Montz had a pretty decent game against the Ironmen on Tuesday night, taking advantage of the height that he has inside. But the Ironmen do a great job, and Tim Foer talked about this on the pregame as well. The Ironmen do a great job with their transition basketball, their offense done by their defense. Lots of one-and-dones in the fourth period for the Braves. Gave the Ironmen a big opportunity to pull away and get a big win Tuesday night at the Whitey McCluskey Center. But again, the Braves trying to bounce back against a scrappy Jersey Shore Bulldogs team that has given a couple of teams some scares in the Heartland Conference. But it's going to be a long road back if the Braves want to try and fight their way back into the conference for a championship run. And, you know, one of the new things this year in the Heartland Conference is there's going to be a tournament game this year. It's kind of like the Schuylkill League had done for years at Martz Hall in Pottsville. All three divisions of the Heartland Conference basketball will have their champions, the division champion, come out. And then one wild card team, and the way I understand it, although I'm not 100% sure on this, the way I understand it, the wild card team will be the team with the best conference record that did not win their division. That will be the wild card team. They will play a four-team tournament, again, to get, you know, kind of an overall champion, we'll call it, of the Heartland Conference. So something new that the Heartland Conference got that the Schuylkill League had done for several years. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Again, the league champion in every division will end up going there with one wild card, and, of course, District 4 playoffs, and, of course, district playoffs in general will happen after that. If you want to see the full sports schedule of what we have broadcast-wise, including Shikellamy Wrestling coming up tomorrow afternoon, go to WKOK.com and then click on Wrestling, or click on Sports Schedule to see, sorry, not only about the wrestling, but also the basketball schedule and the Penn State schedule as well. Again, that's online at WKOK.com. And while you're on the web, don't forget to go to SteveJonesShow.com. We've had some great interviews today. Jeff Byers talking Penn State wrestling. That was in the first hour. That archive is available at SteveJonesShow.com. And we'll have the second hour archive as well, where we talk a little Championship Sunday That'll be coming up again at stevejonesshow.com. Just a couple of places you can find Steve on the web. And if you haven't already started following him on Twitter, it's at Steve Jones PSU. That's the Twitter handle, at Steve Jones PSU. You can also email Steve Jones at WKOK.com. We'll be checking the email bag here in just a few minutes. What Steve was talking about just a few minutes ago was Tiger missing the cut in Abu Dhabi, and also missing the cut was Rory McIlroy, both of them out for the championship after bad starts. But that has been the lead on most sports pages at this point, not the fact that who is in the lead, but you know, that is the lead, and the top story is that Tiger missed the cut, and he did it after a two-shot penalty from what looked to be what he felt was a free drop. Now, I don't know the details on this, and I'm sure we'll hear more as the hours go on, but he got a two-stroke penalty for taking a drop that he wasn't supposed to take, and he was in what looked to be some sort of ivy growing over top of, well, quite honestly, the desert. And as Steve said, you know, this is surrounded by desert. It's almost like playing in Arizona, where the only green is where the tee is, a small strip of fairway, and the green itself. That's where the only green grass is. But we'll get more details on that, I'm sure, in the upcoming days as everybody analyzes left and right the situation with Tiger Woods. And, again, we'll talk more about that throughout the afternoon. And your calls, too, at 800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. That's a part of the Hilscher's General Store hotline.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We love Hilscher's General Store. Love going down there. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, my man.
I'm familiar with it. I go there for the food.
You go a lot of places for the food.
That's
all
true.
Right, so, including Brewer's Outlet. They have pickle bar. To go with all the beverages you can think of, and to go with all the snacks you can think of. So, yeah. All right, now, this is why I root for the front of the jersey, not back of the jersey. We've had a trend where the marquee has to have a name on it. To me, the name should be the San Antonio Spurs against the Los Angeles Lakers. Then after that, you start talking about all the individuals that make them great or not so great. All right? In golf, I mean, it's an individual sport, so yeah, I mean, it's a little more luster when there's a Phil Mickelson, a Rory McIlroy, a Tiger Woods, but we're getting to the point where there's a lot of really good players out there. Really good players. And they're not getting their just due for how well they're playing right now. But golf's always been that, where you had Nicholas Palmer, Gary Player, Watson, Faldo. You know, along the line, some, you know, individuals dominate. Saracen Hogan, Byron Nelson, Sam Snead, you know, individuals. I understand that. Same thing in tennis. Rod Laver, John Newcomb, Stan Smith, Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, Bjorn Borg, Steffi Graf, Martina Navratilova, Chris Evert. You know, all the way up to the current group led by Roger Federer and before that, Pete Sampras. I got it. Okay? They're individual sports. And people have their individual preferences as to who they root for. But it's okay to root for a person. But don't get so tied up in like, oh, yeah. And for Notre Dame, the big problem they've had through this Manti Te'o thing is, I mean, and it's not over yet. Even if Tui Asisopo admits, oh, hey, the whole thing's a hoax, this is all on my shoulders, that takes some of the burden off the kid. But after he found out, which he now says December 6th, he did interviews on December 11th, the 14th, and January 5th, where he talked about her. What?
That so confused me. I had to read it three times, and I still didn't get it.
I understand the embarrassment of it. I've got that part. okay? But there's a way to handle it. Look, I really don't want to talk about that right now. You know, it's time to move forward. Something. Okay? I don't want to talk about it right now. I'm just trying to move forward, concentrate on the game, blah, 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 blah. But I appreciate it. Thank you. Same thing afterward. But it was taken to the nth degree by NBC. It was taken to because they carry Notre Dame football. And to the nth degree by ESPN. Because on the surface, it sounds like a compelling, great story. Well, in the process of getting compelling, great, interesting lead stories, they're hitting a lot of foul balls in the last year and a half. Getting stories wrong, jumping the gun, improper facts. On a lot of different things. They've got a real credibility problem right now, I think, with a lot of people. And for Manti Te'o, people talked about his draft status. Now I'm going to talk to you about what I think about his draft status. All right? When I see him, and you, okay, you have to understand, how have I approached him all season as a player?
Well, you've said that you've seen better linebackers.
Yes, I have. You know who he reminds me of? A player who played at USC who's now in the NFL with the Cincinnati Bengals. He reminds me very much of Ray Malalugu. And here's the reason why. Because I kept trying to put my finger on when I watched him play. Who does he remind me of? He reminds me of somebody. Right? And it was Ray Malalugu. When Penn State was getting ready to play in the Rose Bowl, Ray Malalugu was the big-name linebacker for USC. And I remember talking to the USC people, says, yeah, boy, wait to see Malalugu. I'm like, okay. So I think everyone knows by now what my bowl routine is. When I get to a bowl game, you know, I always get a DVD of the previous game. That's how I go through the regular season. That's really the time I have to invest to look at the opposing team. When it's a bowl game, you have more time. You know, there's finals week in basketball. There's nothing going on. It's a good week to sit down, rack up some tape, look at it, see what you got. So I always take the last game of a season, a game where they won big, a game that they lost, and then a really good game. So I get four of them. So I'm going through, and I'm just kind of making some mental notes about Mark Sanchez. I'm making some mental notes about their running backs. And when I get to the defense, Taylor Mays, I took a look at in the secondary. Kind of felt he was a step slow but big. Felt Penn State could exploit them, and actually they were because they were getting plays downfield, like getting fouled up. And I was really impressed with USC's offensive line. Kicker, I was impressed with. And then I kept getting myself to Malalugu because I liked their corners. I thought their corners were pretty good. And I kept getting to Malalugu, and I kept watching the tape, and I kept saying, I don't see what the big deal is. I saw him make one play in the four games I watched where I was really kind of like, wow, that's a heck of a play. And it was a play where he cut to the sideline against Notre Dame. And he cut the guy off at the pass and made a great play. Fabulous play. That's the only play I saw him make. And I'm watching the tape, and I'm going, damn, 10 and 52 are really good. I said, look at those two guys. They're everywhere. They're great. They're great in coverage. They're great rushing the quarterback. 10's Brian Cushing, and 52 is Clay Matthews. I thought Clay Matthews and Navarro Bowman were the two best players on the field in that game, the day of the game. Malalugu, again, did nothing. Brian Cushing and Clay Matthews blew me away on tape, and Matthews in person blew me away watching him. Malalugu was like functional. That's when I watched Manti Te'o, that's what I thought. I'm not, and again, this is analyzing the game. This is away from all the hype, how he carried them. He didn't carry them through. He played really well for them. But if you look at the numbers that he put up versus the numbers of a Michael Motti, they're almost the same. And Monty had a real impact on his team emotionally because he was the true leader. The only motivation he had was to try and be great for Penn State and make Penn State great instead of putting together some story. His story was bouncing back from injury. But, you know, they made Tail, who was the runner-up to the Heisman Trophy, and I remember it came time for the Heisman Trophy vote. I mean, did I even have my – I think I had him fifth, didn't I?
I can't remember. You definitely didn't have him in the top two. I know that.
In fact, I don't even think I had him on there. I may not have had him on there. I remember I had Manziel. I had Klein. I don't even think I had him in there. I remember somebody calling up and saying, how could you not have him in there? I said, because I think he's not even one of the top three linebackers in the country. And again, do I think he'll play well in the NFL? Yeah, I think he'll be fine in the NFL. I think he's quick. I think he covers the pass better than I thought he did, but he gives me he looks like Ray Maliluga, the way he plays. Monty's numbers were better. The Jones kid at Georgia, I watch him play. He blows me away. I just think he's, you know, and I've seen better linebackers in person. Paul Posluszny was a better linebacker than Manti Te'o. Sean Lee is a better linebacker than Manti Te'o. Those are people I watched every single day. They're better players. They're better players on this level, and they'll be better players on the next level. Sean Lee will be a much better player in the NFL long-term than Manti Te'o will. And again, that is analyzing him, the player. And I'd be saying the same things now. Mel Kiper Jr. has him as the eighth player in the draft. I go, what? So as a player, he will absolutely be drafted. No question. Some people may want to put him in the first round, whatever. Well, if I have a need at linebacker, I have other choices in my head. And again, the analysis that I'm giving you is just somebody who's covered and watched a lot of college football. Not right about everything. I thought A.J. Hawk would be, for example, a dominating linebacker in the NFL, one of the better ones. Except he's been a good NFL linebacker with Green Bay. So you don't always get him right. And if I end up being wrong, I end up being wrong. But that's what I see. I see Ray Maliluga. You know, hype machine, you know, there tells you, you got to watch him. He's our guy. You got to watch him. He's our guy. Then you watch him and you're like, really? Really? Boy, 10 and 52 are damn good. I don't really? I mean, Matthews and Cushing blew me away. Remember, Notre Dame's defense this year was one where between the 20s, a lot of yardage was racked up. But what made them a great defense was that in the red zone, they made some really big plays collectively, not just one guy. We'll come back to wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tim Brando, Mark Schlereth, Tim Saunders of the Flyers, Patrick Chambers, Dave Paulson, Jeff Byers from Penn State Wrestling. It's been part of our week here.
I'm exhausted just listening to the list.
Hope you enjoyed it. Yaakov Israel. Kayla Klein. All part of our guest list this week. Coquise Washington. Not bad, huh? Local from Mifflinburg. To the campus in Lewisburg, to the campus here at Penn State, to CBS Sports, to ESPN, to Philadelphia. And Tony DeFazio is with us on Monday from Pittsburgh.
The Berg.
But that's our week. That's what we did this week. Hope you enjoyed it. It's about time Lawrence recognized it in the promos.
Now getting our due.
No, I mean, Lawrence is fine. Lawrence is sitting back. He's going, yeah, I guess so. We can do this because Mark and I are good friends, and we laugh about everything. So he's one of the great sense of humor. We have a lot of fun. On the Mark is a great show. You know, you have to be able, you know, local radio. People got away from local radio, let's say in the 90s, right? But the fact is that this, that Sunbury Broadcasting understands the closer you bring it to home, the more the audience responds. You know, this isn't homogenized vanilla radio. You know, that's why we'll have Shikellamy Jersey Shore tonight. That's why we'll have Bucknell basketball at Eagle 107 tomorrow. Why we'll have Penn State basketball tomorrow with Nebraska. Why we'll have On the Mark every day, 5 days a week. Why this show's on the air 5 days a week. Sure, we're very lucky to have a show like the Dan Patrick Show. Love carrying that show. But let's face it, I think people love when we're talking about our own neighborhood. And we can take national stories and we can localize them. And then we can get national people in here and we can talk to them about, you know, going on nationally. Like when we had Greg Cosell on last week analyzing and breaking down film from NFL Films. You know, it's our show. We can go national, local. We can jump back and forth. So we have the head football coach at Shamokin. We have the punt, pass, and kick winner at Kayla Klein. But we have Tim Brando and Mark Schlereth. Now, if there's a guest that you'd like to have on, always let us know. It's your show, so we want to cater to what you like and what you enjoy. Kevin, great week, my friend.
Have a good one, bud.
You have a great weekend. You were fabulous all week. Our thanks to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury, the beverage supermarket.